Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let the song sink in your mind, because over 2,000 years ago, there were some people who were singing Hosanna to the King. But they were not the true worshipers of the King. Because a week later, we know what happened. But let the true worshipers of God this morning truly worship the King. Let the true worshipers of God, I say, truly worship the King. 2,000 years ago, we had people celebrating the King, but they had other intentions. But today, as we worship our King, we understand that our King is seated at his Father's right hand. He's not riding a donkey. He's at his Father's right hand, seated on the throne. So as we worship the King today, the true worshipers of God, we know how to worship the King. And as I think about that day 2,000 years ago, as he rode through Jerusalem, sitting on that donkey, and he knew exactly what was in their hearts. He knew that just 1 week he would be crucified, but for the moment, he enjoyed being worshipped, because that's the nature of God. Whether you're a hypocrite or you're real and you worship God, he takes it, because he must be worshipped. In one way or another, he must be worshipped. And as I come to you this morning, it's good to see Brenda's mom. Hi, Brenda's mom. And Teresa. Hi, hi. It is good to be here this morning on this Palm Sunday. And we know that we are celebrating for these past 2 months evangelism. So I try to find me something. I said, God, well, what are you going to talk to us about today? And he led me to some scriptures. Sister Lauren is going to help me this morning. She's going to put those scriptures up on the screen. And I want you to read with us as we look, because it's a message edition. So we're going to be reading from Luke 9, 57 through 62. And I want you to pay attention as you read these verses. Please pay attention as you read them. So let's read. Read for me as I listen to you. Let's go. On the road. This one is coming to you from Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. Let's read again. Thank you so much. Father God, we want to thank you for your word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now pierce the hearts of your people and let your word go through with power and boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. You may now take your seats. The message for today is entitled, Goodbye, Excuses. You'll take me nowhere fast. Goodbye, excuses. You'll get me nowhere fast. And as you notice that we're going to be dealing with invitation and excuses this morning. The invitation. Jesus gave the invitation. He said to another in verse 59, follow me. Nothing complicated about that. Follow me. Plain and simple. Follow me. And by Jesus saying, follow me, Jesus was actually saying, listen, I've been here for quite a while, and you've had enough time to observe me. You've had enough time to hear the arguments about me, and you've had enough time to make up your mind about me. So now that you have, it's time to do something about it. It's time to follow me. The invitation is not complicated at all. It's quite simple. If I was to ask Micaiah today, follow me. She wouldn't have to ask her mama what I mean. She would just follow me. It is very simple and clear. Follow me. It is we, Pastor Turnbull, who make the gospel complicated. We get it all confused. But Jesus said, listen, I'm the gospel, and I'm saying, follow me. And we look in Luke 14, as you just read, there was a man who also gave an invitation. He was throwing a banquet for his friends. And there were no clocks in those days, so if he was throwing a banquet today, he would send his servants out and say, you are invited. As soon as the banquet is ready and the food is on the table, I'm going to send the servant back to tell you to come. And that's what he did. He issued the invitation. He said, come now, it's time. Everything is ready. But no sooner were the invitations issued, the excuses began to come in. And in Luke 9, you're going to see in verse 59, Jesus said to this one, follow me. And the man said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And yet another said, I'm going to follow you, you know. I'm going to follow you. But I want to first go back to my hometown and bid my families goodbye. But I'm going to follow you. And at the time of the banquet, the men said, come, the food is on the table. And they all began to make excuses. The first said, I bought a field. The other said, I have 5 yoke of oxen. The last one said, well, I just got married. Really? Excuse me. And on the surface, as I looked at the excuses, Pastor, I couldn't find anything wrong with the excuses. They were quite reasonable. They sounded reasonable to me on the surface. But in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else is going to be added to you. Jesus' emphasis is on the word first. Their emphasis was also on the word first. If you check your Bibles, they said, let me first do this. Let me first do that. Let me first. I hear you. I hear the invitation. But let me first take care of some things in my life. Let me first go and get things straight now. Let me first. But Jesus said, seek me first. They were saying, the invitation is out there. But what we are wishing to do, Master, is a lot more important than what you're asking us to do with this invitation. We got our business at hand. Your invitation is all right, but we're going to take care of us first. And Jesus was saying, listen, when I give an invitation, it is for now. The invitation said, follow me. Implication is now. I'm on my way to somewhere. Follow me now. Because there is no guarantee that when he goes to bury his father, say goodbye to his family, take care of his real estate, that the invitation would still be open. In fact, there was no guarantee they would still be alive to accept the invitation. So as far as I'm concerned, and Jesus was concerned, they were being a little presumptuous. They were saying, listen, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm still going to be alive. And the invitation can wait. Jesus said, the invitation is for now. He who knows all things sees all things. Issue the invitation for now. For the moment. Not for later. Not for tomorrow. Not for next week. Not until you've taken care of your stuff. The invitation is for now. And it was a simple invitation. Follow me. Forget yourself. Forget your stuff. Follow me now. He's saying, accompany me this instant. Not later, not tomorrow, but now. He was saying, I know the way. Follow me. I am the way. Follow me. Let me take you to where I'm going. Follow me. Join in the experience. And the experience is for now. And they missed it. They missed it. They said, we got to do this first. We got to go here first. To take care of our business. It's a serious thing when you reject Jesus' invitation. And before you are too hard on these people, and you say, well, they should have known better. After all, Jesus was the one who was saying, follow me. They should have just followed him. I want to let you know that the invitation is also extended to you. You also have the invitation to take care of. He's asking you to follow Christ. Come to Christ. Surrender your life to Christ. Be saved today. That is your invitation. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means you and you, if you come to Christ, he says, you will not perish. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, he says, come now, come now. It's quite interesting, Pastor. Every time I see the invitation in the Bible, it always says now. There's no tomorrow. It's urgent. This is urgent. Jesus says, now is the day of salvation. Come now, let us reason together. Said the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, he says he's going to make them as white as snow, and though they be as crimson, he's going to make them as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, he says, ye shall eat the good of the land. But If you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. This is what the Lord God says. And my question to you this morning is, you sit in your seat, will you make the same mistake as these people? Would you make the same mistake to ignore the invitation? Will you be counting on your fingers all the things that you want to do first before you come to Christ? Would you be saying, I hear the invitation, but I've got this and this and this to do. You're just like these people. Don't make the same mistake like they made. Let me tell you, nothing is more important than making it right between you and God. Nothing is more important than getting your soul and your life right with Christ now. Nothing is more important than ensuring where you're going to spend eternity. Nothing is more important than getting your soul right with God. Nothing. If you talk to the people who have lost their lives and their souls today, they'll tell you, I wish I could come back and make things right. I wish I could come and say, God, take my life, but it's too late. Once you leave here, my friend, it's too late. The invitation issued to you is for right here and now. And it's urgent. There's a sense of urgency in the invitation. Let me tell you something this morning. Let me tell you a secret. Because too many times you come to church and you sit in your seat and you hear the invitation given, and you pretend like nothing has happened. But I know why. As you sit there and you look at me and you listen to me, there are a lot of voices going on in your head right now. There are voices in your head. If you sit there and listen to me as an unsaved person, there are voices in your head right now. And if I were to ask you, have you ever heard the devil speak? Have you ever heard him speak to you? I'm sure many of you would, what? You kidding me? No. He's never spoken to me. I want to find out. Are you sure about that? Because as you're going through this worship experience this morning, I want to tell you, as an unsaved person, there's a distinct voice in your head that is speaking to you right now. It is the devil trying to convince you not to accept Jesus' invitation. The devil is speaking to you right now. And it's clear. It's distinct. And you're hearing it. So let me give you a few of Satan's best loved phrases. His best loved sentences. His best loved words. In case you may say, he has not ever spoken to me. We're going to get to the chase right now. Just as long as you help me right now, we're going to put up on the screen Satan's favorite lines. You know when boys are courting, you know they had some favorite lines. It's like two boys come to you, one came last week and this week, and they're talking the same language. It's like, I heard that before. It's like they get together and they try to match their lines or something. And the same thing Brother Kelly would say to Brenda, same thing Ron is going to come and say to Brenda. It's like, whoa, please. Are you kidding me? Get your own lines. Be sincere about the matter here. Leave Jim Reeves alone. I want to hear you, not Percy Sledge. Get your own distinct line. Get my attention. Satan has his own lines. And right now he's whispering those lines right in your head. Line number one. Satan says, let's go, Sister Lauren. You have done some wrong things, but you are just as good as the next person. That's one of Satan's favorite lines. He also says, man, come on. You have not lived your life yet. Take it easy. There's no rush about this salvation thing, Satan says. Am I getting hot? Am I getting hot? Satan is speaking to you right now. He says, listen, listen, you got plenty of time, man. Come on, enjoy yourself. You can always give Jesus your life another time. Not now. Come on, be reasonable here, he says. And Satan continues. He says, listen, listen, if you walk the aisle, this aisle, and trust Christ, man, come on. You got to deal with what your friends are going to say tomorrow. Come on, please, please, think about this thing. He says, if you walk the aisle, you're going to deal with this with your friends. And another line, he says, listen, Jesus, loving Jesus, meek and mild, he will never send you to hell, never. He's supposed to be a God of love, Satan says. He's speaking to you right now. Very clearly. Very distinctly. Another of Satan's favorite lines. He says, so what the big deal about hell? Come on, man. You'll meet some friends there. So please, don't sweat this Jesus saved lost stuff. Take it easy. Don't be so down on yourself about hell. Come on. Please. That's Satan speaking to you right now. And he says, time, man. Come on. You're young. You're healthy. You're feeling good. The doctor says you're fine. Your cholesterol level is low. You have no blood pressure, no diabetes. You're healthy as a horse. He says, time is on your hand. Satan says, come on. He says, there's always tomorrow. Not today, please, not today. Come on, be truthful now. Hasn't Satan spoken to you? Isn't this what he's saying? As you sit in your seat lost, Sunday after Sunday, he talks, you listen, you agree, you shake your head, you say, that's right. And you remain lost until the day you end up in hell and you realized what a fool I've been to listen to Satan's lies. But I want you to dare Satan this morning. I want you to dare him this morning. I want you to recognize the voice that is in your head right now. Whose voice it is, what he's saying, and the danger of listening to his words. Another thing, Satan will be there right by your side right now, telling you, girl, Amy talking to you. It's you. That's your voice. Those are your words. Ain't not Satan talking to me. Those are my own words. He's telling you, you made up those words your own self. So that you could think you're the one who's making the decision not to trust Christ. But the devil is deceiving you right now. He's making you think the words you're hearing in your head belong to you. They do not belong to you. They came straight from the pit of hell, from the devil himself. So now that we've blown his cover, he got to run now. We blew his cover. We exposed his lies. So I dare you this morning, I dare you to recognize his voice. And I dare you to say to the devil this morning, Satan, I heard your voice this morning as I sit in my seat. Those are not my words. Those words belong to you. Devil, flee. I dare you this morning. I dare you to talk to Satan back and say, devil, run. We don't have to open the doors for him to get out of here. He can find a way, because he, just as he came in, he could leave. So don't get too concerned about him leaving, because he can leave. So if you're serious with God this morning, and I want all the children of God this morning to repeat up to me, and all the unsaved people to say, devil! Devil! You're not serious yet. Come on. Let's go. Devil! Devil! I recognize your voice. You will no longer speak to me. I command you to flee. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hey. Jesus. Hey. Don't you feel the lightness now? Don't you feel the Spirit of God now? Hey. Jesus. Hey. Woo-hoo-hoo. Jesus, glory, Jesus, hey, let me tell you something, when the Spirit of God comes in, the devil has to flee, and when we expose Satan and his lies, he gotta flee, and so now the atmosphere is charged, with the Spirit of the living God. Now you can hear God speak clearly. Now you don't have to combat those voices in your head, because the devil can't harm you now. So God's voice must come through. His voice must come through in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now God can have his way. God can rule. God can dominate this atmosphere. God can take his rightful place. God can. When you put Satan at the level he should be, you become a conqueror. I say to you, Jesus says, I got plans for you and save people and save a life. He said, Jeremiah 29:11, he said, listen, I know what I have planned for you. I know. There are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. There are plans to give you a future filled with hope. That's what Jesus said. But I must warn you again. One more thing. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you now that you've blown the devil's cover. There's a passage of scripture, Sister Lauren, in Luke chapter 9, verses 38 through 42. If you could put that up. I want to tell you that just as you struggle to make the decision to trust Christ today, even as you make up your mind that you will follow Christ, as you sit in your seat and you say, yes, I know it's the devil been talking to me, but now I'm going to follow Christ. Even as you now recognize that you're in need of a Savior, that you're tired of living this sinful life, that you're tired of fighting the Spirit of God, I want to tell you what's going to happen to you. The devil is going to try to attack you. The devil is going to try to attack you even as you try to make up your mind to trust Christ. As we read Luke 9, let's read together. And behold. Everybody read. And behold. I want you to read the last verse again, verse 42. Read it again. Listen. At the point of your deliverance, at the very point of your deliverance, at the very point of this boy's deliverance, you saw what happened? As he was coming to Jesus, something happened on the road to his deliverance. On his way to being healed, set free, delivered, the devil began to work. The Bible says the demon threw him to the ground and shook him with convulsions as he was coming to Jesus. As he was coming to Jesus, he was attacked. As you sat there this morning as an unsaved person, and as you have sat in your seat and said, today is my day to trust Christ, hey, the devil ain't going to leave that alone. At the point of your deliverance, he begins to flare up. The devil had his boy in his grasp for so long, he knew deliverance was just right there. Because the minute he came to Jesus, he would be healed. So he tried to stop him from getting. I want you to get this. Getting to Jesus. Let me talk to those of us who are saved. Let me talk to us. Listen, a lot of us have been going through some stuff. And just at the point of our deliverance, just at the point when God is opening up doors for us, making ways for us, working miracles in our lives, supplying our needs, making things right, at the point of our deliverance, there comes the devil. He flares up. He hurts our children. He causes our bodies to be sick. Causes trouble and storms in our lives. At the point of our deliverance, he flares up. He causes us to ask the questions, where is God? At the point of when we are delivered, being ready to cross over Jordan. At the point when he's opening doors, there comes the devil. At the point of our breakthroughs, there he comes like a roaring lion. At the point of your deliverance, just when you thought you had covered one battle, before you could turn around, something else takes place right at the point of your deliverance. And so he brings discouragement right at the point of your deliverance. And he sets you back. He sets you back. And you're trying and you're saying, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Jesus said, it's worth it. It's worth it because Jesus said, at the point of his deliverance, I was right there. I was right there. The devil tried to stop him as he was trying to come to me for deliverance, but I was right there. So if you are going through something that you don't understand this morning, as a child of God, that are causing you questions in your minds, and you're trying to figure out, where is this God that I believe in for all these years? Where has he gone? And he's bringing doubts in your minds. I want you to remember this passage of scripture. As he was coming to Jesus, the devil threw him down, caused convulsions. I don't care what you're going through this morning as a child of God. I don't care. In my life, as I look back in my life, before I could walk two steps, the devil is right there on my heels. Before I could take a breath and say, well, I could relax this week, Brother Ron. There he shows up in my space, causing me to ask the questions, what is going on? Even as I strive to be who God says I should be, there he is. As one door opens, he's there. He shows up. And he questions, he makes you question, is this what God has called me to do? And he puts doubts in your minds at the point of your breakthrough. Ah, Jesus, oh, kukulumabusha. Jesus. But I'm so glad this morning that even though he closes, seems to close doors that I want open, and open doors that I would prefer stay closed in my life, I'm a witness this morning that Jesus is right there. He's not going to leave me. The Bible says no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, it is already condemned. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a conqueror. I will not be defeated. The blood of Jesus Christ is on my side. And even as he shows his ugly head at the point of my breakthrough, and the victory is mine. It may take longer than I would think, but it's still mine. Victory is mine. And as I come to you this morning, as you're saved, unsaved, as you make that important decision this morning to trust Christ, even as you say yes, he's going to say, girl, why you stay in your seat? Boy, stay in your seat. And he's going to let you miss out on what God has for you today. I want to warn you, it's going to happen. That story is for us to understand that even at the point of our deliverance, the devil acts up. And you see a lot of us up here, and we sing, and the praise team sing, and Mitch and everybody do what they are supposed to. You think that everything is fine in our lives. You think that we have it like, how you say, strawberry jam and peanut butter? You think that we don't have any problems or troubles? It is we who have problems and troubles. Because as we get close to God, he acts up. He acts up. We don't got it together. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ we got it together.